welcome to Axis Astrology Podcast. My name is Alison Price and I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill, and we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. We're going to be providing you light-hearted and entertaining astrology, and we're going to be discussing the astrology of the day, what's going on, and hopefully you'll find it to be fun.
Absolutely. And we'll be talking about the current transits that are going on in the solar system right now, things that are going on in the planets but affecting us here on Earth. And let's start with Mars and Leo.
Okay.
Mars entered Leo early this morning. Mars is the planet of action, of activity, of passion, of aggression as well. Leo is a sign of, how would you describe Leo? You're uniquely qualified.
Leo is a sign of creativity. It's a sign of who wants to inspire others to their great heights. It's a sign to do with children and youth and creating things, not just of the body but of the mind as well. So starting out things with Mars now in Leo, we've got the energy and the drive to start things.
Absolutely.
I'm not quite sure how we are on the finishing, but definitely starting things is going to be part of the period now while Mars is in Leo for the next 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that we've got going on in the solar system right now is a cardinal grand cross. And what that means is we've got an ongoing square between Uranus and Pluto. Pluto is in Capricorn, Uranus is in Aries, and they're forming a square. And along with that right now, Jupiter is in Cancer, which forms one cross. And Venus is in Libra now, so that forms all four. It's basically like what it sounds. It's a cross in the sky formed by four planets that are all in cardinal signs. And the cardinal signs are associated with beginnings, with kinetic energy, with leadership. And so there's a lot of that sort of energy going on right now.
Yes, they say the cardinal signs are the leaders of the zodiac.
Yeah.
So with having four planets in the four different cardinal signs, we've got this grand cross, which doesn't happen often, but it's happening quite a few times this year.
Absolutely. And a lot of the things that have been going on in the world have been sort of associated with this ongoing square. A lot of unrest and sort of revolutionary activity can be associated with the Uranus-Pluto square, historically speaking. So we do have the things going on in Syria and in Egypt and ongoing, political upheaval, really.
Yes.
But usually towards a creative end, sort of, you know, people rising up and demanding more freedoms or more rights. And obviously that's a good thing. Can be violent and messy, but these are revolutionary energies that are being released right now.
Yes, yes. Also with the cardinals, with this cardinal grand cross, Venus will only be there for a few days in that position in Libra. So at the moment she's dominating this particular grand cross, bringing the questions of money and love to the issues that are being on the table, that are in the news. And as she moves further on during the course of next month, the Sun and Mercury will take those positions.
Right, absolutely. So over the next month, that grand cross will continue, but the Libra planet
will be
changing from Venus to the Sun and then Mercury. So right now Venus in Libra is, diplomacy. It's more of an airy intellectual, maybe perfectionistic in a sort of balanced way, that sort of thing. Libra, when it moves into the Sun and Mercury, slightly different, a little bit less, maybe a little bit less egalitarian, less, accommodating,
less finesse, perhaps.
Yeah, possibly.
Yes. The other thing that we would like to mention here is that we have this ongoing grand trine in water. Now, this is a feature of 2011, that between Saturn in Scorpio, Jupiter in Cancer, and Neptune in Pisces. This particular grand trine has been in position for over a month now, and it's slowly shifting over as Chiron's taking Neptune's place. But what's interesting about this is that it does get reinforced every time the Moon moves round as well, picking up on one of those planets, creating kites every 8 to 10 days as well. So with water grand trines, one is inclined to think that if you are a person who's got your sun in a water sign, which is Cancer, Scorpio, or Pisces, opportunities are going to be coming to you. And it, because it's a trine, it's actually a matter of whether or not you reach out and grasp them.
Mm-hmm.
Things are virtually going to be floating past your window, and there are things out there for you if you to make the effort. Because with trines, you do have to make an effort to pick things up and bring them into your consciousness.
Right, it's a flowing energy, but it can flow right past you.
It could go straight past you and you wouldn't even notice.
Right.
So, but it is an opportunity for water signs this year,
mm-hmm.
that we very rarely have a grand trine with the outer planets, which are, so that's why this one is particularly important.
Absolutely. So all the outer planets right now are involved in some major configuration.
It's amazing. I can't even recall the last time this happened. And we have been doing astrology for a while now, and I, but this is a very interesting in 2013 because we've got tension in the square and yet ease in the trine.
Yeah.
So it just depends who you are and what your sun sign is, whether you've got a cardinal or a water, then you're going to be featured on it, and the other signs as well will just pick up opposing energies at that time.
Absolutely.
Now, Armin, perhaps you'd like to tell us a little bit about how you came to be an astrologer.
Well, let's see. My childhood actually was sort of permeated with astrology, if you want to put it that way. My mother and grandmother have studied astrology and I suppose they were astrologers in an amateur sense at various points in their lives. I grew up with a sort of a library, but also with just the conversation around the dinner table, you know, much as other families might have talked about sports, maybe.
How interesting.
Absolutely. So that was how I entered into it, and then in a more formal way about 15 years ago. And I did ask my mother and grandmother for advice on what to study, and immediately both of them said, Stephen Arroyo, he's the
yes.
He's the author that you want to go get his books. If you can't find them, we will mail you our copies, and you will mail them back when you're done, which I did. So that was the start of the library that you see behind me, if we were on video. It's a massive bookcase full of astrology books, essentially. And they're all highlighted, and lots of them have pages either folded down or bookmarked, and very visual learner, so every one of them is sort of in the middle of being read at any given time.
And it's interesting you say Stephen Arroyo, because when I was learning art, my first astrology teacher said that we weren't allowed to call him Stephen Arroyo, we had to call him Saint Stephen, because his books were so good for the era they were written in. And we constantly referred to him from then on in as Saint Stephen, and everybody knew who we meant because he has excellent books.
That is wonderful to hear. I didn't know that he had that, you know, with everyone. That's amazing.
Yes.
But yeah, absolutely.
And looking at your library behind you, I can see that we can, if we ever get our images up on the site, we can definitely put some spines of all of your wonderful astrology books, color-coded beautifully, Virgo and Lee there, I see, by size as well. So that's great.
Yeah. The organizing books by color thing, I did jump on that bandwagon, but I like it. It makes me happy to look at it. I've got all the planets in Virgo, but I also have a lot of planets in Libra, so appearances, organization, and books. And how about you? How did you get into astrology?
My mother was an astrologer, actually, as well, so I do have a good birth time because of that, because she got the time. Even though she didn't practice officially, she could construct charts and interpret charts in a small way. And she also came from a family where they would read tea leaves, and my grandmother used to read tea leaves every Sunday after church. And it was always within my knowledge that astrology was there. And then when I was 20, I actually took my first formal lessons and got some formal education in astrology, and started working as a professional astrologer virtually after that, because once I saw what astrology was, it just became my life. I couldn't get enough of the books. And the country I was living in at the time, it was very difficult to find astrology books. They were not allowed to be brought into the country. So if you did find them, they were treasured, and you read every word. It was that kind of thing.
Wow.
So I started a long time ago, back in the 80s, and I've kept it up ever since. Whilst I've had to bring up a family, things have maybe gone a little bit on the back burner, but now that I have more free time, as my children are much older, I'm able to step up my astrology business here. Yeah.
Excellent. And speaking of that, you just came home from a conference.
Yes, I did.
I'm dying to hear about this.
I did. Last week I was at the Faculty of Astrological Studies in London, England's summer school conference, which was held at Oxford University, actually in the college where the students do their learning. So we take over the college for the summer. So you're in a little dorm room, up four flights of stairs. There's no elevator, and you've got a little window opening up onto the street. And these were the actual rooms where the students had their dormitories. And there was classes for the whole week, and including the weekend, which was prior to my actual arrival. And such people who've been in this college, the college I was at, which is Exeter, there is it J.R.R. Tolkien, the guy who wrote Lord of the Rings? He went to this college, he's got his room there. He was a high profile past student. The chap Pullman who wrote The Golden Compass.
Oh, wow.
And we had a big long talk about that because it's got all astrological symbols on it as well,
right.
But that's perhaps another story.
And my name comes from Tolkien.
Does it?
Yes.
Good heavens.
That's just a weird coincidence. Yes, Arwen even starred in Queen of the Elves.
Mm. Oh, how fantastic.
Yes. Well, continue, please. couldn't resist.
So anyway, this is a total wonderful, it's what I would call immersion conferencing, because you go in, you step through the door, and they close the door behind you, and you are in a different world.
Wow.
The building was built over 700 years ago, and it's entirely different. It's nothing's modern about it, really, but it all works.
Wow.
So they ran three tracks during the conference. At the height of their conference, they had 130 people attending. We had wonderful meals in the banquet hall, which was so much like Harry Potter, that kind of long terrace tables and so on. So I was particularly on the one track called Astrology in Action, mm-hmm. which was how to do stuff in astrology, which to me is a way of keeping my skills current for my students and my clients. And there were two other tracks. One was philosophical, and the other was a little bit more new agey. So I was mainstreaming mm-hmm. in the astrology track, and there were some wonderful lectures.
What was best?
The best lecture I
yeah.
heard was Bernadette Brady. I believe she's Dr. Bernadette Brady. She's the woman who wrote Brady's Fixed Stars, and she gave a lecture, and it turns out she's actually Australian, which I didn't know. But anyway, she gave information, which is invaluable because I can use that every day with my client work.
That's fascinating. I love that.
So I hope I made that clear about
absolutely. Them. Yeah, I want to go look at my chart right now and find those aspects.
Exactly, because then it makes you realize that if, for instance, when I looked at my own natal chart, there was only one aspect that became a hot aspect.
Interesting.
And that was the one that has always been in my face anyway, and I knew about it, and it really just became glowingly hot now.
Well, what is it? Tell us.
It's the Sun conjunct Uranus in Leo. So what happened is the Sun is conjuncting the Sun, and the Sun disposes Uranus because Uranus is in Leo. So it makes the Sun give all its goods to Uranus. So what that means is that the energy and the creativity of the Sun will be forwarded to Uranus rather than the other way around, even though they're both in a conjunction. So the Uranus, which to my mind is the astrology I do,
mm-hmm.
Totally gets my total attention, being the Sun and the ego and the effort goes to. It's a very tight conjunction I have. It's less than 1 degree. So
wow.
Already they're well blended, that I am an astrologer, astrology is me. And it's kind of mixed up, and I've always known that was important in my chart, but this particular method of Bernadette Brady's has just brought that up and highlighted it.
Absolutely. That's fascinating.
So that was incredibly interesting.
Definitely.
But this is a conference that I would recommend any astrologer go to. If you've got a week to spend, and it's every summer, this was their 65th year of doing these conferences. It really is. You need to do yourself a favor and go and spend a week at Oxford.
That sounds wonderful.
You would love it.
Were there any other famous astrologers you bumped into that you were?
Well, Nick Campion was there.
Hmm.
He gave a very interesting talk about, it was mundane astrology, actually.
Mm-hmm. I find that fascinating.
Yes, you would. I actually thought of you at the time, and I did want to...
Perhaps we should define mundane astrology, since the
yes.
word's a little bit misleading.
Mundane astrology is the astrology of countries and cities.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like a Canadian chart and an American chart, and that would be mundane astrology
yeah.
when you're looking at the politics and the history of
yeah.
a country or
yeah.
city. So he was particularly in this instance discussing Turkey and how it's affecting the Middle East and the Arab Spring and so on, that it's developing, and to be honest, I'm not strong politically, but it is developing, and he had all his reasons why this was actually turning into something else just on the back burner, which perhaps people haven't necessarily already noticed.
Interesting.
So that was part of his section. We also had Sue Tompkins. I don't know if you know her.
A little bit, yeah.
She wrote that wonderful book, whose name eludes me at the moment.
I feel like I have it on my
the
shelf.
The Contemporary Astrologer's Handbook. And she was also an excellent talker. Now, she used to be the president of the faculty and a few years ago, and she still stepped down to create the London School of Astrology in England. So that was interesting. I didn't even know that as well. But she was great. I think the thing is that they bring in astrologers who are clearly more English than the American ones, but they are long-standing, they've got years of experience, and they really do know their subject. So that is great.
Well, I mean, if you're using Oxford University as the as the setting, that's right there, more of an endorsement, I think, than you'd get on this side of the pond.
Well, it's just it's immersion. It's just astrological immersion.
That's amazing.
It would be like if the Americans, I suppose, went to Princeton,
Harvard, and said, here, you have the school for the weekend. Yeah.
And apparently you can rent the rooms and so on, but that's what this is all about. So you're going there, and it's wonderful.
Did you see Stephen Hawking's office?
No. So that's great, and Oxford itself is it's a medieval town, if not older, and quite a visitor mecca, I must say. I was surprised, but it's great. Everything works, and everything's there. And
Wow. I personally can't imagine, when you say over 700 years old, Vancouver, where we are currently living, is, 150, 200 at the most?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Steve
1886,
Simon Fraser's chart, and it was 18-something, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's 120-something years old this year.
Yes. So the design of the college is as it was then. They've just modernised, like, the plumbing and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's all mod cons, but clearly it would not have been constructed that way today.
Yeah.
The way they've done it. There is a chapel within the college, and actually on the Saturday I was there, one of the women who is a student at the college was getting married, so there was a wedding going on.
That's great.
Which was something else altogether. And we were also fortunate enough on the Thursday evening before we had a gala dinner that two musicians who were in the astrologers group were able to go into the chapel and provide a musical recital for us all as a duet on this piano.
Wow.
Now, one of the astrologers was actually from Vancouver. I don't want to mention his name at the moment, but I was speechless. It was absolutely wonderful. And because they've got a roof that's all arched and so on, the acoustics were fabulous.
That's wonderful. That's so exciting.
So to be honest, it was a hugely busy week. I came home seriously tired.
Oh, yeah.
And I did go there a day early to try and overcome the jet lag. But yes, you could do with an extra day at the beginning and the end to go there, but it really is wonderful. I would really highly recommend it. In fact, I'm planning to go back in another 5 years. So maybe you can join me on that trip.
All right. I will plan for that.
Yes.
Get my passport in order.
That's right. So I wonder if we could just talk a little bit perhaps about some events we've got coming up in Vancouver.
Absolutely.
Let's just get them out of the... There's a few, isn't there?
There are, yes.
Let me get
things
them.
Are gearing up.
They're lining up. The first thing that I would like to tell anyone in Vancouver, as you well know, is that we have the Astrology Vancouver meetup group every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. and you can go to astrologyvancouver.com to find out the exact details. And Arwen, that's actually where we met, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yes. Just down the street, coincidentally.
Coincidentally, just conveniently down the street.
Yeah. Waves Coffee. On Howe Street,
yes,
in Vancouver.
That's right. And what we put it for was as astrological conversation. There's no cost involved, but you are encouraged to buy a coffee or a tea or something in the shop. So that's a fun way of meeting people who are interested in astrology in the city.
Yep.
The other thing I'd like to say is that I'm starting a natal chart analysis. That means an astrology lesson in September on the 24th. And that will be from 9 until 11 a.m. on Tuesdays for 6 weeks. There are information on my website, which I will give in a moment. I'm also offering Skype classes, which is all starting in September after the equinox. We've got Introduction to Astrology, which is a total beginner's class. That's on Skype, and I take a maximum of 4 students at each lesson. I also have Introduction to Forecasting, but you do need to know a little bit about astrology to do that one, and then Introduction to Synastry, which is relationship work. They're all Skype classes. I run these 4 classes 3 times a year after the equinoxes.
And they can find out more on your website.
On my website. And my website is, it's Starzology. It's www.starzology, StarZology.com. And that's my personal website where all my education will be. You can click on the menu there and find out a little bit more about who I am and what I'm doing. The other thing I just wanted to mention is that in November in Vancouver, we have the Body, Soul and Spirit Expo, which
that's exciting.
Is huge. Mm-hmm. This will be held on November 1st, 2nd and 3rd, which is a Friday, Saturday and a Sunday at the PNE, mm-hmm. which I believe is down the road somewhere.
Giant fairgrounds,
is
roller
it?
Coasters.
Never,
yes.
Oh, really?
Bands play. Absolutely.
I didn't know
it's
that.
Huge.
Well, I've never actually been there, but I shall be there in November, as I'm sure you shall. And I have a booth there with another astrologer, and we're going to be doing astrology readings over the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm. And you can go to Body's...
Body, Soul and Spirit Expo.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Body, Soul, Spirit Expo.com.
Yes, it's quite a long word. Yeah. For the Vancouver Expo, and I believe you can buy tickets online,
yeah.
or you can just pitch up and get a ticket. But we're doing readings on a first-come, first-served basis. And there will be many other holistic practitioners there doing Reiki and reflexology,
mm-hmm.
and
tea
leaf reading, herbal growing, all the massage therapists, and the TV stations are going to be there. There's going to be lectures. It's going to be absolutely fun.
Absolutely.
A fun weekend.
Very
all
exciting.
Around.
Totally looking forward to that.
Yes, indeed. So that'll be in November, and I understand that there'll be many opportunities for picking up some Christmas gifts at that time as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So, having a look at that, let's just finish with our. We've got a new moon. Perhaps,
we do,
and it's in Virgo.
It
I
is.
Don't know.
If you, I was born at the new moon, so I guess I can speak.
Were you? Wow, how nice.
Oh yes, and it's my birthday. I forgot.
Happy birthday! Oh,
thank you.
And it's always
that sounded so fake. That sounded like oh, and by the way.
Oh, and by the way. And it's always auspicious to do to start something on your birthday, which is what you're doing. We're starting our podcast. We're getting it together, and here it is on your birthday. This has really got to be a good day to start something like.
Yes.
This.
Well, it's going well so far. Absolutely.
So our new moon.
Yeah, new moon in Virgo. So the sun and moon are conjunct in Virgo. And let's see, what can we say about Virgos?
Well, that depends who you are.
They are detail-oriented.
Yes.
They are good writers and editors. They proofread almost without meaning to. At least I do. I know that about myself. I can't even read a menu without proofreading it.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, it's a curse. But yeah, we can be picky and pedantic, but also
modest
and intellectual and helpful. If you ever have a Virgo
Indeed.
Friend, they are the best person to go to for advice.
That's right. Virgos are kind, aren't they?
They won't be necessarily the warmest, cuddliest shoulder to cry on, but if you actually want to know what to do about your problem, they are ideal.
With act practical things to
Absolutely.
Look at.
Or if you have some sort of a spot on the carpet or a
of
piece
course.
Of clothing. Yeah,
you, know,
they
you
will
need your closet sorting out. Call the Virgos of
yeah.
this world. I know, as I said, I have a brother with 5 plants in Virgo, so I do understand how that can be.
Indeed.
So this particular new moon, I've got looking at a little bit of the chart here.
Yeah.
We've got Mercury, the Moon, and Venus. It's a little bit wide. It's not quite a conjunction, but the main aspects coming in is the trine to Pluto, which is a good, again, on the Earth signs, and then the sextile up to Jupiter, bringing those two together in the water sign, and an opposition to Chiron. So those are the only 3 aspects actually coming into the new moon. For my mind, when it's a new moon, it's time for new moon wishing. I'm not sure if you're aware of this phenomenon, this thing that people do. Okay, well, new moon wishing is when you, at the new moon, write down a list of 8 to 10 items that you would like to occur for you in the next month.
Virgos are good with lists.
And and not only that, where, in whichever house in your chart the new moon occurs, you have to write your list in line with that house. So in your case, the new moon will occur in your
10th house.
10th house. Mm-hmm. So you can then put forward some career or public status requests or affirmations saying, I would like to achieve this, I would like to...
That's the beginning of the fiscal year with the company that I work for, so it's signing the new contract.
You would like to sign a new contract. It's ideal. It's a perfect thing to do during a new moon in Virgo anyway.
Absolutely.
But in the 10th house, that's going to... that will be your 10th house new moon of the year, so you get an opportunity to do new moon wishing for that. Now ideally, if you want to do some ritual with it as well, you can light a candle for the new moon.
I just happen to have candles.
And you just happen to have a candle, which is wonderful. And you can have your list of affirmations, your new moon wishes, and with your candle at the new moon. And the idea is that you write your list before the new moon occurs, so you're ready for it at the new moon, and you can invoke it into...
I'll have to scribble that down very quickly then.
Well, the new moon is on next Thursday, isn't it?
Oh, well, excellent.
Yes, it's next Thursday.
Good.
So in my case, that would occur in my second house, the new moon, so I would want to have more money in my bank account, clearly. And there are other things of self-worth and self-value that the second house is connotated with.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just sorting out my financial situation with all the detail that Virgo can bring to.
Absolutely.
Adding up those odd sets or even balancing your checkbook. The idea being that if you put a new moon wish out each month, it will move into the next house, so you get an opportunity throughout the whole year to do your new moon wishing.
Interesting.
Something that our listeners can do as well. If they know which actual house their moon's, the new moon's going to happen in, that's when you start it. Because you want to start things at a new moon.
Definitely.
Do you agree?
I do absolutely agree. That. Yes. And right now we've got the cardinal cross energy as well.
Yes.
Cardinal and the beginnings and all that. So it's a very good time to start things. Starting school, back to school.
Back to school is clearly, as I did mention to you beforehand, that this is the day my daughter goes back to school. So, yes, back to school, mums. It's a new moon, it's a new year, it's a new school year. It should be a good new school year because it's a new moon in Virgo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very scholarly and intellectual and...
Wordy.
Wordy.
Yes. So, and the kids should be able to find their things and work out timetables and so on. Whereas clearly not every school year starts at a new moon, but this one is.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, if you can get ahead of the game, it's a good time to position yourself to have a good year,
absolutely,
a good school year.
And with Mars and Leo, that's
absolutely
sort of takes the edge off the intellectual, you know, go, businessy aspects, and gets a bit of, sports, creativity, fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's we've got quite a good chart. It's a very busy chart that we're living with at the moment, I think.
Indeed.
There are just so many combinations, and I think children born this week will have it quite intense. But it's a cohesive chart. There's nothing half going on here in this chart.
Yeah.
There's not bits over there that we're not paying attention to, or concurrent aspects that are not being integrated. It's definitely
integrated. Just looking at the visual of it, it's a fascinating pattern. Got a grand trine and that grand cross, and then all kinds of, it's just every aspect kind of overlaid, but in a beautiful pattern. It's almost like one of those spirographs.
That's right. And for our listeners, we're actually looking at our chart, which is our start chart for our podcast, because as astrologers, you don't do anything without casting a chart for the occasion, which Arwen did for us. And I really do like the chart. We have Sagittarius rising. How do you feel that will affect us?
Sagittarius rising is fantastic. I have a soft spot for Sagittarians, as my mother and grandmother are both that sign. It's a very adventurous, magnanimous sign. It's spiritually interested, engaged, educationally. They like to travel a lot. They're very brave.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful sign. It's the sign of the adventurer, of broadcasting.
Right.
Sagittarius rules broadcasting, which is what broadcasting essentially is, which is great. It also gives us Jupiter as the ruler of the chart.
Hmm.
So we can believe in a great future for we can make that belief in a great future for our podcasting career.
Absolutely.
I think
Jupiter, the little planet that wanted to be a sun.
yes, the largest planet in the solar system.
Absolutely, by lots.
That's right, and our chart really is quite nice. We were lucky to have this Gemini moon. It's now in the third quarter. It's in the seventh house of the public domain, so I do like that. So it's better than being in the sixth house, because it would have been a bit tougher
work,
going.
Work in the
yes.
sixth house.
So because the moon at the present moment is coming into the third quarter, it means it's moving into the darkest type of the cycle. It's a chance for us to look back to when this moon cycle began, which was in the Leo new moon. And because it's now coming towards the next one, this is an indication of getting your writing down for your new moon wishing at the new Virgo new moon, because the moon's now in Gemini, which is also ruled by Mercury.
The sign of communication, or the planet of communication, and the messenger of the gods.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. What else?
Our podcasts are going to be coming to you every 2 weeks. And if we look into our second week, we've got the Mars square Saturn coming up. That will be an exact. As Mars moves into Leo, it's actually going to do the square to the Saturn. So that might be a difficult period. That would be the on Monday next week. Maybe a little bit of, I would say, be careful of, I don't want to say be careful of dangerous things, but
it's
take it easy. Mars is a bit of a hooligan in Leo, okay? Perhaps the Saturn is going to temper it down, but at the same time there may be issues with authority at that time. If you're speeding, you know.
Right, with Mars Saturn there can be a sort of a push-pull, you know,
yes.
it's a bit of a friction.
Definitely a bit of a friction.
So sort of a hooligan versus Constable.
Indeed.
Constable sort of energy. So there's a visual for you.
There you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much how that goes, because it's the exact square. It's been coming for a while, but it's definitely going to pick up. That will be on the 9th of September. Well, we've got Labor Day on the Monday,
we
so
do.
We did say earlier that is always a good time to, for if you're a parent, then you know it's the end of summer, because the kids are going to be going back to school in the following week. And there's that lovely new moon to support that. I don't know if you looked into the week after that. I see Mercury will be going into Libra. That'll be on the 10th.
That's good. Mercury in Libra, it's negotiations, diplomacy, conversations with partners, business partners, love partners, nations trying to agree on things.
Yes.
And
mediation.
Settle things amicably, which we hope for.
That's right. I think so. It's not a bad movement, right? Mercury into Libra, and then I seem to have Venus in Scorpio next week Thursday, so that'll be a shift when Venus moves from its own sign of Libra, which it's very comfortable in,
right.
And it likes being there, and it's going to move into Scorpio, where it's really not that comfortable.
Yeah.
So if you want to. Dare I say, if you want to get married, do it while Venus is in Libra. Don't wait till Venus has moved into Scorpio. That
absolutely.
Type of thing. Or if you want to declare your undying love again.
Go with the
yes.
more flowing communication style of Mercury.
Yes, go with the flow.
Yeah.
And not against it. There is an analogy I use when I'm teaching my students, and it's that if you're going to be doing surfing, say, off the beaches of Hawaii, and you've got your surfboard and you go out into the sea and you're going to be out there waiting for a wave to come. You want to catch a wave. Now, the idea is that you really can only surf into the shore when the tide is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way you can surf into the shore when the tide's going out. And the tides, as we all know, are created by the moon. But that is an actual physical effect you can see from the moon. We know that the moon is making the tides, and therefore you have to surf in when the tide's coming in. And I want to say that as well, that with astrology, you want to work with the flow of the tide.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a situation that's not conducive to moving something forward, don't try and push it. And it comes back to the moon and the surfing in, that you have to surf with the flow of the planets. And this is what got to be the beauty of astrology, that you can learn when is it time to push and when is it time to hold.
Absolutely. And, of course, you can do anything at any time, but it's a matter of knowing when it would be the most beneficial, when it would be the most fruitful, when it would be the easiest or when the benefits, you know, would be the greatest to do certain activities at certain times.
It's
just a matter of knowing that and then being able to find that information and use it for your own pursuits.
Exactly. And this is what we were saying a moment ago about the Venus in Libra is far better position for love and money than it will be when Venus mm-hmm. moves into Scorpio. That's when money will get tighter and love will become harder. Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, maybe more guarded.
Yes.
In their relationships, a little bit less prone to want to discuss and bring everything out in the open and hash things out as partners, but a little more inward looking.
And I think if you're just starting out to learn astrology, you don't need to know all about all the planets and all the signs. But if you simply followed the sun, and you know that now the sun is in Virgo, and therefore it's a good time to do, well, harvesting if you're a farmer, we were talking about. But again, it's to do with getting your work organized, getting your day-to-day routines in place. This is a good time of going back to school because you can get your timetables worked out again.
Yeah, all your books and your
pens
and everything in order and... Yeah.
You get back into the gym or
the
whatever
schedule.
It is, your schedules, mm-hmm. you start talking about schedules. Whereas when the sun was in Leo, nobody was talking about schedules. They were talking about parties,
stay
and barbecues, exactly, and new dresses they were going to be wearing on the beach, taking sunbathing. Nobody cared about schedules. But when the sun moved into Virgo, we start to consider it. We start doing the back to school movement as well.
Even if we are, you know, not children and don't have children, it just permeates the culture. There is this feeling of, okay, now we get serious again.
That's right. This is why I like to start my classes when the sun is in Virgo at that September period. There's no point trying to start a class in August. Nobody's interested.
I'm not interested.
So I just found that if you can plan your year with the cycles of the sun on a simple basis, you'll find there is a time to do everything. They say a time to reap and a time to sow, right?
That song started going through my head when you said
that. And of course, Virgo is the symbol of the maiden standing there with the sheaf of wheat, which she has just harvested.
Indeed. I like to think of them as a stack of library books, but that's just personal.
Well, to my mind, then she steps out off camera. She takes her sheaf of wheat down to her kitchen. She thrashes it out, grinds it all up, bakes bread, I put it in fresh baskets. Then she takes it outside to the guys who are working in the fields and she feeds these people on a practical basis. And that's what that imagery is always to me with the Virgo, because it doesn't stop that she's brought the harvest in. She's still got to work a lot harder afterwards.
Yeah, it's not just about holding it like at the Oscar in the arm, like here's my wheat.
Exactly. So she's out there baking bread, feeding her village.
There's lots of work.
Or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
And that's Virgo. They do keep going.
And then when it's all done, it's not, I can relax and take a bath now. It's now I can focus on my stuff and with the glasses on in front of the internet until the early hours of the
night. That is really the modern sort of version of that analogy of the. So I suppose if we discover the constellations now, there would be a picture up there of Arwen at a keyboard.
They'd all be hunched over their laptops.
Start with the stars and not the version standing with her sheaf of wheat.
I'm not against wheat, though.
No. We don't go against the grain.
No.
It's interesting because, you know, bread is the basis of food, right?
So definitely.
It comes through the Virgo time.
Yeah. I think that is a wonderful note to wrap up on. I can't beat that.